Welcome to Pastor Bill's classroom. We are in our study of the Corinthian letters, lesson 31, entitled, Singleness is Not a Disease.
Hello and welcome back to our midweek study, 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we have been jumping out of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, now we're going to be jumping into 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So, hope you'll join us. If you don't have a Bible, find one, and because it's a Bible study, so got to have a Bible. In order to learn this. So let's pray together. Ask God's help as always before we look at what he's got to say to us. God, we know that you're speaking to us at all times, and your word is not just something that you speak through. It is actually you speaking. So I pray, God, that we would honor it that way. We would trust, God, that these are your words. You've inspired them. You brought them to us. You've carried them through many ages, through many avenues, through many difficulties. And yet here they are. Exactly what you want us to know, so help us to take it that way. Pray, God, you bless those who hear and those who heed. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we're going to be through a smattering of verses in the chapter 7. So verse 7 all the way down to verse 40 at different times and different places. So we've been spending a considerable amount of time talking about the marriage, blueprints of a happy home, four different sessions, I believe, together. We've been on that and needed, I believe. In fact, I think we can spend more time on that, but I think we've said what needed to be said, and it very, very much needed in our culture today, given the condition of the institution of marriage. But these studies also raise several questions as to marriage and singleness in particular. Do I have to be married to be happy? So the blueprints to a happy home, the way I titled it, does that mean can't be happy if I'm single? Good question. Do I have to have a spouse to be fulfilled? Does the verse that says, it's not good for a man that he should be alone, that's what happened there in the garden and God created Eve, right? Does that mean that if I'm alone that it's not good? Good questions. In some ways, not so much anymore, but it seems like in the past, certainly in our culture, and in many cultures today, singleness is treated like it's a disease. It needs to be cured. It's treated like a problem that has to be fixed, a crime, a social injustice, a disability. It's none of those things. It's certainly not any of those things. In fact, according to the Bible, singleness is a very good thing. In many cases, in some cases, it is a preferred thing over marriage. I'm going to intend to make that case with you, even though I've been making a case for marriage and how important marriage is and what the purpose of marriage and all those things. Not to the neglect, though, of singleness. So I want to spend our time together talking about singleness, but to begin with, let's first of all just consider, just for a second, the famous single people in the Bible. Let me name some of these. I don't know if you know if you realize all these were single or not, but they were all single, many of these, for their entire lives. Elijah, never married. Amos, never married. Daniel, never married. Jeremiah was forbidden to be married because of the day and the situation and the circumstances and his call. Interesting, isn't it? These are great people. Jonah, never married. John the Baptist, not a greater man born of woman, Jesus said. John the Baptist, never married. Barnabas and Paul traveled, it says. Paul makes the argument, do we not have a right to take believing wives with us? But the implication is we don't do that because they didn't have them. Barnabas was not married. Paul arguably was a divorcee. Did you realize that? Paul was a Pharisee before he became a Christian. It's extremely unlikely that he would have been unmarried. They married him off early. It was arranged marriages. And so almost certainly, I say almost because we don't have a word from it in the scriptures, one way or the other, but almost certainly Paul was married, lost that marriage because of his conversion to Christianity, never remarried, single for his entire Christian career. So interesting topic, isn't it? By the way, the most famous single person, none other than Jesus. Obviously, Jesus is married to the church. He has a spouse, I guess you could say, in an eternal sense. But in a physical sense, in an earthly sense, he's 33 years not married. So if we're going to say that singleness is a disease, that singleness is a problem that needs to be fixed, you have to say that over some, very effective single people who God used very powerfully in the scriptures. Like I said, yet we tend to make singleness out to be something that's not desirable, needs to be fixed. Parents push our kids towards marriage as if there's nothing else for them. Well, that's not true. Actually, if we make a careful study of the Bible, we have to see as parents, we have a responsibility not only to make a case for marriage, but also to make a case for singleness. Because both are valid, are acceptable, and promoted in the scriptures. And you might gasp at that statement necessarily, but if you understand, the Bible views singleness differently than we do. And a lot of our views of singleness and marriage have to do with the norms of our culture as opposed to what we're actually taught in Scripture. God created marriage in a perfect world. And hello, look around. We don't live in a perfect world. So marriage was created in that perfect situation, but it's not perfect anymore. So for us to say someone has to be married in order to be happy, you can't say that. You can't say that. In fact, as I've said, there are situations where it is preferable not to be married. Let's consider, let's make a case for singleness today. Paul writes to society here in 1 Corinthians, the Corinthian culture, and in a day and age in which the culture pretty much did not hold a high view of singleness, let's just say. The typical person in both Greek and Jewish culture had an arranged marriage. You got married whether you wanted to be or not. To whom you wanted to be or not, just, you know, such is the case with arranged marriages. Marriage in the Jewish culture was obligatory. That's why I'm saying I'm very doubtful that Paul would have been unmarried prior to him converting to Christianity. Very unlikely, although I'm not saying it's impossible, because like I said, we don't have a word on the scriptures from it, but nonetheless, very unlikely. Because marriage was obligatory in the Jewish culture. If a man did not marry and have children, this is what they called him. They call him the slayer of his posterity. You didn't have kids. You didn't get married to have kids, so you've killed your heirs. They didn't ever come to be. And wow, isn't that horrible? So that was kind of pressure that was put on people in this culture, especially Paul's culture. And what Paul is going to say here in chapter 7, 1 Corinthians, basically flies in the face of his own culture and the culture, the Greek culture that he was writing to here in 1 Corinthians. So let's take a look at what he says here, and he says some great things, some very important things. And again, what do we have here? We have the opinion of Paul? No. Yes, we have something bigger than that. We have the opinion of the Holy Spirit. So hear it as not just God, like I said, not just God through something God can speak through. This is God speaking to us. So hear what he has to say. Chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. First of all, we're just going to be skipping, moving through. Yet I wish that all men were even as myself. What's he talking about? Singleness. Paul's saying it's better. He says, I wish that you could be like me. He's not saying you should or you shouldn't. He just said, I wished you could. However, each man has his own gift from God. Now that's an important statement. What's he talking about? The gift. What is that? God's called some. Giftedness is a calling, isn't it? God's called some to be married, and some, like Paul, not to be. Each man has his own gift from God, one this manner and another that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows that it is good for them if they remain even as I am. So, wow, that's a statement. Favor singleness, or I should say, balances marriage with singleness. Important statement. Let's look down at verse 26. Just cruising through. Like I said, we're jumping big spots here. We're going to come back and fill in some of those spots. I think then that it is good, in view of the present distress, he says, verse 26, that it is good for a man to remain as he is, that is, unmarried. He's recommending, I wish that you could be like me. He says, considering the culture and the world that we live in and how short life is and how important the mission of God is, I think it's good. If you're not married, he says. Again, this is not just his words, it's the words of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39. A wife is bound as long as her husband lives, but if her husband is dead, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, but only in the Lord. In other words, only to another Christian. But in my opinion, She is happier if she remains as she is. That would be single. And I think I also had the Spirit of God. Indeed, he did he not? Because now we have it in inspired text. So the Holy Spirit has put his stamp on this, not just Paul saying, I think I've got this right from the Holy Spirit. But actually, we know that he did, because here we are 2,000 years later reading the same words. Is it critical that we understand this? Critical that we grasp this? Critical that we apply it to issues, not just to singleness, but especially in this case to singleness? So he calls it good to be single. So something good is, it means it's valuable. So Paul is saying singleness is valuable. It is. Not to be spoken against. Not to be derided. In some cases, preferable to marriage. The value of singleness, I want to make a case and give you a couple of things here. There's a lot of reasons we could say singleness is valuable. Let's just consider a couple of things here. First of all, singleness has value because it is a spiritual gift. Verse 7, like I said, Paul calls it a gift. There is a gift of being married. God's called you to that. It's one of the things, one of the thresholds I crossed as growing up and really growing in Christ was I realized that was God bringing a wife into my life. That was God's business. Marriage is God's decision. It's not my decision. I had a desire to be married, but does that mean I therefore am? But what if I have a desire to be married, but I'm dead tomorrow? I should be living today, serving him, and I became convinced of that. And so, you know, I pushed it all into God's hands. I said, God, if that's what you want, you bring the right woman to my life, I'm ready, but I'm done with the whole dating scene. I can't justify marriage. I can't justify marriage. I definitely can't. I can't justify dating, at least the way we pursue it. I cannot justify it in the Scriptures. Cannot. So that's what I did. And so I felt like when I met my wife and felt called to marry her, that was God. I really did. In fact, I wouldn't have done it any other way. That was God calling me. So that was a gift. Obviously, my wife is a great gift, and we're a gift to each other. Our marriage is a gift for 32 years now. There's others who are gifted to not be married. One is just a gift, much a gift as the other. One a blessing just as much as the other. Very different from each other, but nonetheless. Gifts. So we hear a lot about gifts in the Scriptures, and always think about prophecy and tongues and spiritual service and administration, etc. But what about the gift of singleness? You hear about that very much? Do you? The gift of singleness? Well, I just read it to you. Aren't all gifts of God? Aren't they all good? I do believe. We need to be careful here because it isn't just singleness that we're talking about here. We're talking specifically about celibacy. There's a lot of people who are, quote, single. They don't have a marriage document. They're not living like single people. They're living a sexual relationship outside of the will of God and messing themselves up, thus, because sex was intended for marriage, not for anything else. So anytime we break God's rules and get outside of the blueprint, well, you're calling outside the lines, and there's no telling what's out there. In fact, evidence is that there's bad stuff out there, a lot of it. So we're not definitely not talking about just single in the sense you don't have a marriage license. We're talking about single in the sense of the way you practice your life. Celibacy. God's called people to this. Singleness was one of the gifts that Paul used to bless the church. The church was hugely blessed by the singleness of Paul because Paul could do things that a married man couldn't do, like Peter, for instance. Peter did some great things. I'm not taking anything away from him, but Paul was more mobile. Because it's easier to get one up than it is two. He could live on a shoestring. He had no family to slow him down in ministry, and he was very effective in that. It was a gift. And what is a gift? A gift is something that God gives to a person to bless other people with, the body of Christ. And that's exactly what Paul did. He used his singleness as a blessing. Let's as we're talking about the blessedness or the value of singleness, let's hear what Jesus, how about that, had to say about singleness. Take a look at this. This is Matthew chapter 19, verses 10 through 12. I don't have the thing on the screen necessarily there for you, but I just want to tell you where it is. Matthew 19, 10 through 12, Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples, with the first of all the Pharisees, and then with his disciples about marriage and divorce and other things. And his disciples had a bad view of marriage, just like most people back then did. It says, if the relationship of a man, here's them speaking to Jesus, if the relationship with a man with his wife is this, that it's better not to marry. He said, man, if it's going to be that hard, why even get married? Notice what Jesus says. Jesus said to them, But not all men can accept it. He says, yeah, you're right about that. It can be better to not be married. Depends. We'll see. Watch. Not all men can accept this statement, but only those to whom it has been given. It's a gift, right? The gift of singleness. Some people are given that gift. That's talk about valuable. I mean, what gift is not valuable? For there are eunuchs, that is, people who have been physically adjusted in this case, because they can't get married, who were born that way from their mother's womb, and there are others who were made eunuchs by people, and there are still others also, it says, eunuchs who made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of God. In other words, they're celibate. They're celibate. Some are celibate because of physical deformities. Some are celibate because someone did that to them. They did that. And then others are celibate because of choice. Because why? For the kingdom of God. The one who is able, Jesus says, to accept this, let him accept it. In other words, if God's given you this gift, then that's what it is. Accept it that way. Because the norms of the culture say you have to be married. No. What does the scripture say? What is God saying? What's the gift he's given to you? So, wow, is not being single for the kingdom of God, is that not valuable? I do believe it is. You say, but I want to be married. I say, well, then maybe you don't have that gift. That's okay. You have the gift of marriage. That's great. That's awesome. God knows how to take care of that. Let him do it. But let's be clear on this. There's not a better to be married than it is to be unmarried, or better to be unmarried than it is to be married. No, there's the circumstances and the person and the call of God on their lives. So number one, singleness is valuable because it's a spiritual gift. Number two, singleness is valuable because it streamlines a person to be able to handle the troubles of our day. Look down at verse 26 again. We saw this, but think then that this is a good view. He says, I think, singleness, then that this is a good, it's good in the view of the present distress, that it's good for a man to remain as he is. The present distress, what's he talking about? The troubles of our world. Like I said, yeah, marriage was created in a perfect garden, in a perfect circumstance. This hasn't been perfect ever since. So to say what would apply probably 100% in a perfect condition, to say it applies in an imperfect condition is, wow, mixing things up there, I do believe. Singleness streamlines a person. Again, considering the present distress, as Paul refers to, the present times. And that present distress is a very real thing. Persecution of Christians are a very serious thing back in Paul's day, and very much on the increase today. I mean, persecution is bad enough when it's directed at you. Try having a spouse. Try having kids. It just amplifies the trouble of persecution, does it not? Recently, Christians are being killed wholesale in places like Sudan. Imagine what it's like to be married in a place like that. Have children in a place like that. There are times it's better to be single. Also, the present distress of the world we live in, and that distress is the fact that they need to know Christ. What has God called us to do? What's he left us here for? To be married? No. To reach people for Christ. That's what we exist for. That's the purpose of the church. Now, if in that process God has called us to be married to reach that end, that is reaching people for Christ, like in my case, my wife and I are a team. We serve as a team. We encourage each other, and we're better together than we could have been apart, and that's awesome, and that was God's will, and that's his direction. But again, what's the bottom line? People are being reached for Christ. That's what our marriage exists for. That's what we exist for. So sometimes it's better, though, for that purpose to be accomplished, to be single. Again, verse 28. But if you should marry, you have not sinned. Okay, it's fine to be married. He says, I'm recommending not being married. But he says, if you get married, it's not a sin. If a virgin should marry, she's not sinned. Yet such will have trouble in this life, and I am trying to spare you. Yes, you will. You can have, marriage can bring, solves a lot of problems, but it also creates problems. Think about it. Everybody has trouble. Single person has less. Why? Because you can be sure he will not be widowed. She will not be. Never divorced. Never issues. Just issues dealing with his own personality, not with two personalities. Remember, marriage is two people. Can't just one go and do what he wants to, or she goes, no, that's not marriage. Marriage is us two together on all things. That's marriage. So it's hard to get your own brain wrapped around something. Try to get two brains wrapped around something. Again, it can cause issues. Everybody has trouble. A single person has less. No stress of divorce, no stress of raising children. You say, I would like to have kids. Again, what has God called you to do? That's what you need to know. There's also the whole sin factor. It's hard enough to being a sinner, living with yourself. Try two people. Like I said, it can get exponential. It can. With family, sin affects far more than just yourself. Marriage does solve a lot of problems, but in fact, it also creates problems. Marriage, as someone said, tongue-in-cheek, if marriage teaches you loyalty, it teaches you forbearance, it teaches you self-restraint, and a lot of other qualities that you won't need if you stayed single, he said. Now, seriously, it is true that there is less pressures. There is. For singles. There really is. Singleness has some advantages considering the shortness of life. So, again, what are we here for? The fact is, Jesus can return at any time for his church. No warning. Considering the shortness of life, is it better to be married? Is it better to be unmarried? Hear me, not you. God needs to decide that. What has he called you? He knows what your days are. He knows what the future holds. He knows other ways that he has gifted you and the things that he's called you to do. And if marriage it makes you better for that, then God will decide that. If singleness makes you better for that, then the same. But God needs to decide. You're headed into an eternity in which marriage will not exist. So to force marriage upon a person now and to say it has to be that way, listen, I don't think that's wise. It certainly is not scriptural. So our lives could be over in a day because we don't know what the world is. We don't know what we're not promised tomorrow. A single person is able to be more easily focused on the realities of really a short life, truly. A married person has responsibilities, and they do. Of taking care of their spouse, of taking care of their children, of saving for the future. A single person doesn't have those kind of concerns. They can be focused on the kingdom of God. That's the argument Paul's making here in a whole chapter in your Bible that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Deal with it. Verse 29. This I say, brethren, the time has been shortened. Yep. So that from now on, those who have wives should be as though they had none. In other words, what's the most important thing? Marriage? King of God. Now we got to put the King of God first. Got to be. It's got to be. King of God. Paul's not contradicting what the Bible teaches, but he is contradicting a lot of social rules of his day and our day, possibly, which says marriage is more important than serving God. No. Being concerned about nice homes and cars and jobs and clothes and vacations will distract us. They do. From the urgencies of this very short life, a single person has a much easier time pulling up and moving somewhere else. That's why, like I said, one of the gifts that God gave the church through Paul was his singleness. Because he was mobile. He was active. He didn't have to worry about any other thing other than himself. It's a gift of God through Paul to us. Verse 32. But I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But the one who is married is concerned about the things of this world, how he may please his wife. That's just simply a fact. And his interests are divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit, but one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say to your own for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you. In other words, not to say everyone has to stay unmarried, but to promote what is seemly, to secure an undistracted devotion to the Lord. Yeah. Whatever that is, married or unmarried, that we might be undistracted in our devotion to God and service to Him. It's much easier for a single person to deny themselves for the sake of the kingdom and for the sake of others. Like I said, just a fact. Just a fact. Verse 29, let's back up a little bit. Through 31. This I say, brethren, the time has been shortened. We already saw that, right? Remember that. The world is passing away. We have an urgent call to reach our world for the sake of Christ. We cannot, whether single or married, mourning or celebrating. I don't think we read that part, did we? Yeah, no, we didn't. But I say, brethren, the time has been shortened so that from now on those who have wives should not be as those who had none. Now, here's the part we haven't read, verse 30. And those who weep as though they did not weep. In other words, I mean, be sad about losing people, but we don't have a lot of time to mourn. There's an urgency. Here, you can hear it in this. Those who weep as those who do not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. Don't get tangled up in this stuff. We have too short a time and too important a job. Those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it, for the form of this world is passing away, and everything in it, including marriage. It is. Not taking any of it with you. The call of God is an eternal call to serve Him. Our world is passing away, and we have an urgent call to reach our world for the sake of Christ. We cannot, whether single or married, mourning or celebrating, wealthy or poor, distracted, be distracted by any of it or allow any of it to keep us from doing what God has called us to do. That's Paul's whole point. What is most seemly? What is best for the kingdom of God? That's where we make our decisions. Again, God makes that decision for us. For my case, married is the best thing. Other cases, no. Singleness valuable? Absolutely. Absolutely. Can you be happy, single person? Absolutely. Again, what has God called you to? How has He gifted you? In that calling and gift, you will be happy. You'll be fulfilled. You will. In every way, it is God providing for you. It's because God has created you with a need to be married, and so His provision for you is that spouse. Or He has called you to be single, and His provision for you is in that singleness. Either way, it's God taking care of us. Praise be to Him. Let's pray. God, we thank You that You take care of us in all things so that we can accomplish the mission You have for us. Help us remember, we don't live here for our sakes. We live here for Your sake. And in that process of serving and laying our lives down, You provide for us so richly. You bless us so greatly. If nothing else, just the blessing of knowing we're right where we're supposed to be, living without regrets. Thank You, God, for this time. Thank You, God, for the single people, God, and for the singleness and the blessing of singleness. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for visiting. Find us at www.islandbaptistchurch.org.